We begin this weekend our celebration of Corpus Christi, which is Latin for the body of Christ. And then our readings, our homily, our gospel, and the prayers, they all center around this most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist. We believe that Jesus is truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in this Eucharist, which we are about to celebrate. In the late 1990s, the New York Times did a poll where they asked Catholics what their belief in the Eucharist was. And 70% of Catholics, 70%, ages 18 to 54, said that they believed the Eucharist was only a symbolic reminder of Jesus. Only a symbolic reminder of Jesus. It confirmed a Gallup poll several years earlier, which said that only 30% of Catholics affirmed their belief in the real presence in the Eucharist. So the two complemented each other. Now, that same Gallup poll said that a majority over the age of 65 do believe in the real presence. And we've seen in more recent years our young people, a restored belief in the real presence in the Eucharist and in devotion to this most blessed sacrament. So why this gap of people who don't believe or have trouble believing in the real presence of Jesus? It's nothing new. If you go back to John 6, the first time that Jesus really articulated this belief of him being present in the Eucharist and that we have to consume him to have eternal life, many of his disciples left him. At the end of John 6, it says many have stopped following him because it was too hard for them to believe. And for many of us, it is too hard to believe. How many of you were, by a show of hands, were educated by nuns? Yeah, me too. We're going straight to heaven. You know, there was a certain period in the church. I remember talking to many of you who are maybe a little bit older. Not really old, but a little bit older. There was a period where if you asked a question or brought up a doubt, it was often discouraged, you know. You were told to just have faith. And brothers and sisters, there are times when we do need to have faith. Jesus himself said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believe." But if you're having a question inside, especially about a doctrine in the church or how something comes about, a lot of times that's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit wanting you to question so that you can go deeper in your faith. And I have a feeling that for a certain amount of time, there were people in the church who asked questions and were discouraged from getting answers, and they couldn't go deeper in their faith. Perhaps one of the reasons so many, 70%, only believed in a symbolic presence of Jesus is because they took it on blind faith. Our belief in the Eucharist actually goes clear back to the Old Testament with the sacrifice of the unblemished lamb, which you heard about in the second reading today. With Moses in the first reading, sprinkling the blood of the sacrifice on the people. Meaning the people actually had the blood of the sacrifice put upon them. Today, you will see receive the body and blood of the sacrifice in you. Of that same unblemished lamb, now Jesus in the New Testament. You see, when Jesus came, and Mark documents this in our gospel today, he says, "This is my body and this is my blood." Now, you might think that he was saying, you know, "This is my body and this is my blood," pointing to himself. Or maybe he was pointing to the disciples around him and said, you know, "This is my body, this is my blood." But a proper study of the original Greek indicates that he was actually indicating what he was holding in his hands at the time. "This bread is my body. This cup full of wine is my blood." And it's kind of hard to believe, isn't it? And so we look to the testimony of other people. Look at St. Paul. St. Paul didn't actually meet Jesus while he was still alive. And yet, St. Paul's the one who records that on the night he died, he took bread, blessed and broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body." And this is a guy who never even met Jesus while he was still alive. In the year 315, St. Cyril of Alexandria, one of the church fathers, says this, quote, "Do not doubt whether this is true, but rather receive the words of the Savior in faith. For since he is true, he cannot lie." Jesus would not deceive us, would he? And so when he says, "This is my body and this is my blood," and when he says in John 6, "Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you," he means it. He's not trying to deceive us. Some of you may be familiar with Eucharistic miracles. These are also evidence of the real presence in the history of the church. One of the most famous is the miracle of Lanciano. This occurred in the 8th century, so the 700s, and it was a monk priest who was struggling with his own belief in the Eucharist. I mean, imagine a priest who celebrates Mass every day. He was struggling. "Is this really Jesus that I'm holding in my hands?" And so one day during Mass, that host actually changed from bread into real human flesh in his hands. Many people were there to witness it. Many people have witnessed it since then. In the 1970s, they actually took that same piece of flesh out of its container and tested it to see, is this all just a hoax? And they found it to be true human flesh of a male from the heart muscle. Many other Eucharistic miracles have occurred in the church in France, Italy, Germany, the Netherlands, Belgium, Austria, Czechoslovakia, France, and Russia. You do remember who my favorite saint is, don't you? Saint Francis of Assisi. I still remember in grade school we were made to watch Brother Sun, Sister Moon. Some of you have probably seen that movie. It's not the best depiction of St. Francis, but it does depict his very youthful spirit, his carefree attitude. And many times St. Francis is made to be this very fun-loving, soft, teddy bear-like guy. He's the patron saint of animals, right? And yet he said this with, you know, seems almost uncharacteristic of St. Francis. He said this, quote, "All those are damned who see the sacrament of the body of Christ on the altar in the form of bread and wine by the words of our Lord and in the hands of the priest, yet do not see or believe in spirit and in God that it is really the most holy body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, this is the patron saint of bunny rabbits and kitty cats, saying that we are damned if we don't believe it. Those echo the words of Jesus Christ, "Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you." For over 2,000 years now, we have both experienced and been taught about the Eucharist in God's one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. More recently, Pope Pius X said that Holy Communion is the shortest and safest way to heaven. John Paul II, our late Pope, Saint John Paul II, still have to get used to saying that, wrote a whole encyclical on the Eucharist, was known for his Eucharistic devotion. So should we. Brothers and sisters, everyone in this parish should have a holy hour. No exceptions. If you're lying in bed dying, I'll give you an exception. But we should all have a Eucharistic devotion It's what it means to be Catholic. Admittedly, we all struggle with this belief. I remember my second year of college, I really began to struggle with my faith, and in particular, really struggling with the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. How could this be? And it was actually the study of what are called the church fathers, those who knew the apostles, those who, you know, were followed right after the apostles, and looking back at the early church, what did they do? In the first couple hundred years of the church, what was their belief? St. Cyril, in the first couple hundred years of the church, said this: "Do not therefore regard the bread and wine as simply that, for they are, according to the Master's declaration, the body and blood of Christ. Even though the senses suggest to you the other, let faith make you firm. Do not judge in this matter by taste, but be fully assured by faith, not doubting that you have been deemed worthy of the body and blood of Christ." If you are doubting, pray for a firmer belief and devote yourself to this sacrament. In our first reading today, the Israelites respond to God by saying that they will do everything that the Lord has told them. How many of us respond to God and to His church in the same manner? I will do everything you have told me. And Jesus says, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Perhaps the most important question you can ask today as you leave Mass, and when you do leave Mass, remember that you are a tabernacle, literally. Up here in this gold cylinder, it contains Jesus' real presence. That's why when we come into church, we are silent in awe of the presence of Jesus. We go down on our knees out of reverence for the presence of Jesus. When you see the servers and the priest and the seminarian go into the sanctuary, you see them genuflect because of the presence of Jesus. And Jesus, when you receive communion and you walk out of this church, isn't Jesus still living inside of you? That host is largely intact inside of your body. You are like a walking tabernacle when you leave this place. That's why we don't rush out after Mass. That's why we stay and kneel and give thanks. That's why we conduct ourselves differently when we leave. And so perhaps that is the best question that we can ask is, how does my belief in the Eucharist, how does my belief in the real presence affect my life and the way I live and the way I conduct myself after I leave the Eucharist? Vatican II described the Eucharist as the source and summit of our Catholic faith. But is it the source and summit of your Catholic faith?